The Blizzard of Odds will not be heard at this time, so that we may have a warmer reception for our wily wizards.
I've never been called a wily wizard before.
Anyway, this is Gordon Pepper, and we can do the cold jokes, we can do the ice jokes, we can do the how cold is it jokes, and we can even do chicken and beer jokes, because we're going to be talking about chicken and beer, and an island, and all sorts of zaniness, and we don't have a lot of time, so we're going to start it off by saying, from somewhere in America, this episode of WLTI is on. Let's go.
Wee!
Welcome to the very cold and very fast edition of WLTI. This is episode number 476 at 5-1 Productions, 5-1 Studios. That's I'm Jason. That's Chico. That's
Hello.
Gordon. And this is Johnny Gilbert.
From the Alex Trebek stage at Sony Pictures Studios, this is
okay, we're going to go right to it. We're going to flip it and reverse it first and start with Celebrity Deathmatch. Thankfully, it was Margaret Cho playing for Friendly House, Seth Green playing for the L.A. Food Bank, and Rachel Brosnahan playing for Covenant House New York, and it was the Margaret Cho Show with two double-ups in Triple Jeopardy. At the end of Triple Jeopardy, Margaret had 47,100. Rachel had 7,000, Seth had 2,800. It was a lock game with this clue in, where are we here?
Coming attraction was the category.
Coming attraction, the clue. The voice of God, Don LaFontaine, was best known for this three-word phrase that set a stage for many a movie trailer.
I got
Chico?
It. What is in a world?
Yes. Gordon, do you have a fake answer?
Who is the stud that called Margaret Cho is going to win this one?
Yeah, and she is...
Words, Joker.
Yes, but Margaret got it right, Seth got it right, Rachel got it wrong. Margaret had 54-1, and I believe we're going to get our first quarterfinal match next week, I believe.
Semi-final.
Yeah, semi-final. Okay, moving on to Pop Culture Jeopardy, where one more Wednesday and the semifinals will start. In
correct.
Game 22, we had Blame My Mom, Sisters in Spirit, and Three Almost Dads. At the end of Double Jeopardy, we had, where are we here? It was a lock game for Three Almost Dads, and the final Jeopardy clue was the Tony Awards, the clue. Only six women have won Tonys for directing a musical. Two of them have this last name, winning in 1998 and 2024. Chico, do you have this one?
No, I don't.
I did. It was actually Taymor, because Julie directed for The Lion King, and her niece won for The Outsiders in 2024. Gordon, did you have a funny answer?
I always have funny answers, but let's keep going.
Okay. All right. So then we go to episode 23 with Thought Patrol, French Roasters, and those darn Etruscans. At the end of Double Jeopardy, you had the Etruscans with 14-2, 9,000 for Thought Patrol, and French Toasters for 1,200. And the clue is provocative props, and I love this clue because I got this one right. Hit it. The most requested topic for debunking by Mythbusters was inspired by an 8-foot by 3.5 feet piece of wood used in this film. Chico?
What is Titanic?
That's correct.
The myth would be would Leo and Kate both fit on the board?
Right, and according to the episode, Colin said, only they thought the time rose life jacket underneath to board the assistance in buoyancy, otherwise the wood would not have been able to support, and they both would have died, but yes, it would have been possible. Probable? Well, who knows? But Just want to make sure those darn Etruscans got it right and move on. And in the final episode, we have Game Night Rules, Nerd Alert, and the team from Toronto. At the end of Double Jeopardy, we have the team from Toronto, 15,000. Game Night Rules, 10,500. Nerd Alert, 7,000. The clue is, and I knew this one too.
Category.
Record-setting record. Released in 2017, it became the most streamed track worldwide and the first YouTube video to receive 5 billion views. Who you got?
What is Despacito?
Yes, exactly. And here's the thing. Teams, Game Night Rules and Nerd Alert got it right. Team from Toronto missed. So Game Night Rules moves on. Last quarterfinals next week. Now, moving to the actual champions wildcard. Our 9 semifinalists are Joey DeSena, Drew Goyne, Jen Feldman, Evan Dory, Jay Fisher, Will Yancey, Marco Starrick, Mayhew Shop, and Paul Clanson. On Monday's show, it's Jen, Drew, and Joey going into the final Jeopardy round. Drew locks it away with 26-8, 12-6 for Jen, and 9-2, but they got to play it out in Cold War crap. The clue. A U.S. Navy website says its journey from New London to Norway in 1957 opened up Arctic waters previously ruled by the Soviets. I knew this one. Did you?
What is the Nautilus?
That is absolutely correct. Drew,
me. Who?
What do you got?
What is the Ice Warrior ship?
Nice.
Very good.
However, they're colder than the Ice Warriors.
That's correct. Fast. Right. Drew didn't even have to bet anything. He moves on to the finals on Tuesday. Evan Dory, Jay Fisher, and Will Yancey move on into the final round with Evan at 32-4, Will at 26, and Jay at 28. Let me tell you something. The buzzer battle and daily doubles was one of the best semifinal games we've seen in a while. This was great. This was absolutely great. Really good. Really good. The final Jeopardy category is mythology.
Ooh, I love this one.
Some myths say the treasure of the Nibelungen was hidden under a promontory called this on the Rhine near St. Courthouse. I did not know this.
I did. Okay. I did, because I'm a big fan of the Nibelung and, of course, Germany as presented by Busch Gardens. What is Lorelei?
As in Lorelei's Rock. And Will said, yes, the Rock in the Rhine was said to be where a siren would lure fishermen to their death. So Will is the only one who got it right. And believe it or not, the second chance tournament winners are moving on to the finals, both of them, which is very, very cool. And finally, and then I'm going to hand it off to you, Chico, on tonight's show, Paul Clawson, Mayhew Shaw, and Marco Saric are in the last game. And Mayhew has 19-8, Paul has 12-4, and Marco 5-8. Easy one if you know this one, from real life to fiction. Selfies. These two British authors, these characters, Nico Henderson and Old Craw, on Richard Hughes, Journalist and Double Agents. Do you know this one?
I believe it's John le Carré and
yes.
Ian Fleming.
Yes, correct. And Marco got it right. Paul got it wrong. Marco got it wrong, but he bet smart. And he moves on. So your finalists in the second chance tournament are going to be Drew Goyne, Will Yancey, and Mayhew Shaw for the right, I believe, to go to the Tournament of Champions, which, Chico, you have info on.
I do have info on, and tournament action begins Friday. That is this Friday on TuneIn as they extend their partnership with Jeopardy. The tournament action begins with the friendly
exhibition game.
The friendly between the three top seeds. That would be Adriana Harmeyer, Isaac Hirsch, and Drew Basile. they will obviously face the players who advance out of the preliminaries. And I have those lineups right here. Quarterfinal one on Monday, January 27th. Allison Betts, Will Wallace, and Rishabh Whoopalapati. Quarterfinal two, Amy Hummel, Grant DeYoung, and David Erb. Quarterfinal three, Greg Jolin, Wikiai Ranilla, and Nilesh Benjamuri. Quarterfinal four, champions wildcard contestants to be announced, Ryan Manson and Will Stewart. And we end the week with Mark Fitzpatrick, Allison Gross, and Kevin Laskowski. February 3rd, with champions wildcard contestant to be announced, Amar Kakirdi and Lucas Partridge. Your semifinal games are February 4th through February 6th, and the finals begin February 7th. And if needed, they can go as long as February 17th.
What is that, a seven game, best of three? First of three wins?
It's the
right?
First of three wins, yes.
Oh, okay, now after that, I believe, is the Jeopardy Invitational, correct?
I think so.
Yes, which I believe was delayed due to the wildfire. So, very quickly.
Yeah, in order for this to work, you're going to have a Monopoly board to look at.
Okay. So, for this week's main challenge, the Queens created a monochromatic outfit inspired by properties from the board game Monopoly, because it's its 90th anniversary this year. The orange properties went to Hormonal Lisa, Lexi Love, and Lucky Stars. Red properties went to Arietti, Lana Jarrett, and Susan Toot. Yellow went to Acacia Forgot, Corey King, and Lydia B. Collins. Green properties go to Jewel Sparkles, Joella, and Anya Nerve. And the blue properties go to Crystal Envy and Sam Star. The run rate is, the category is Monopolist. Oh, and by the way, the challenge winner was Sam Star's top plate. He won $5,000. Okay.
Yeah, and the guest judge to this week, joining Michelle Visage, is Keith Madison, Sandra Bernhardt.
Legendary actress Sandra Bernhardt.
Yes.
So,
and your bottom are Joella and Lucky Stars, who will lip sync for their life the song "It's Just the Way That You Love Me," a banger from the old school by Paula Abdul. Lucky Stars has to pull one of the levers that may cause Michelle to be dropped into a dunk tank. No, she is eliminated.
Well, a couple of notes here. Number one, not only does Sam get $5,000, Sam also gets immunity in the next episode.
Oh, okay.
So
did not know that.
Very
okay.
Important to win that. So that's number one. Number two, there is, at the beginning, there was 2 out of 10 that was safe. It's now 1 out of 9. So that gets knocked out of play once the other safety lever is pulled.
Right, but the thing is that I don't like this. I don't like this because I believe that the producers can influence what lever works or not.
I don't know, but I don't like it for a different reason.
Okay.
Clearly, it's a plug. Clearly, it's a plug on Vegas. If you win, you go to Vegas. Yay! And for the first week, it worked because Hormonal Lisa gets to go to Vegas and she's excited, and so does everybody else. Lucky Stars is a quibbling mess, and RuPaul goes, "Yes, you get to go to Vegas," and the look on her face is just like, "Well, whatever. Shut up, you bleeping bleep a bleep bleep."
Yeah. Right.
You know, what condolence is that going to be if you go to Vegas because you're no longer going to be on the show?
Right, yeah,
so,
exactly.
Like, yay? I probably would have given the trip to Vegas to the winner of the challenge and not the loser, though I understand luck needed for the dunk tank. Whatever.
Okay, Chico, let's go to the island. Not Survivor, Deal or No Deal Island.
Yes, it's Deal or No Deal Island, where Dr. Will decides, before we get into any sort of situation, I'm going to blow up Parvati's game by revealing that she was on Survivor, which people actually knew about if you gave them a chance to talk to her. But yeah, the excursion is an exercise in trust and persuasion, and also in blowing up sandcastles. On the beach under sandcastles are 12 cases. One of the cases is valued at $4 million, but getting the cases will involve good communication and some careful persuasion. Split into two groups, each team of players will be connected by a single rope. The rope only has enough slack to allow one guest at a time to reach a key in the center. Without the key, they can't free themselves. Once they're free, follow the path into the jungle into a series of giant sandcastles. The case amounts are marked. Each person must take a case. And the baker has hidden a baker's bonus case. It is unmarked and will influence the game. Philip ends up picking up the baker's bonus, and the baker's bonus is a split. That is the right to split up a pair, which would leave those players with one case in this excursion. And that's important because the team with the lowest combined total, actually that's wrong. The player with the highest combined total, that's the two players with the highest combined totals, as they are partnered in the reveal or the prove out, will be safe, as will the player who has the baker's bonus and whatever partner they team up with. Parvati teams up with Philip, who has the split case. Split splits up Leet and Rock after a bit of persuasion. Leet ends up with $4 million in their case. Rock has, if I'm not mistaken, $820,000. The rest of the players team up like this. Seychelle and Lachelle have $1.34 million. CK and MG have $6,775,000. Storm and Dixon have $2,925,000. And David and Will end up with $3.77 million, which means Seychelle and Lachelle are both at risk because they have the lowest amount. And also because he was nominated by Philip, Rock is in there as well.
But Rock eventually gets nominations.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we go to the temple where lowest case is a penny, biggest case is almost $7 million. But the first round sees the top three get knocked out as well as $1.75 million. But it's not a matter of how much money, just the best deal. First offer is $133,000.
Yeah, how many cases are higher and how many cases are lower?
Two higher, six lower. Oh, wait. Two higher, six lower.
Deal. You absolutely deal at that point because you have a 75% chance of sticking around.
Yeah, well, he decides no deal. So the next round, Rock knocks out the penny. 500, 1,000, and 2,925,000.
The offer's 250. He takes it, and the case is now 531.01. But Rock is gone because he had the highest case left at 1.34 million. Bye bye, Rock.
Oops.
Oops.
But we need to go from the island to Haven Studios. And Chico, you and I watched this. This is one of the better shows of the year so far. This is a Jackpot Generator subtitled Little Red Corvette. We'll talk why.
Yeah, we'll talk about why. And also talk about why you may want to remember the name of the player who won it. But let's talk about what happened tonight. First of all, B, wins a trip to Las Vegas and gets a shot at a patio bar, a Samsung 4K TV, smartphone,
and a
Kawasaki Eliminator motorcycle. The bar is valued at $3,623. The electronics are valued at $5,600. The motorcycle is valued at $4,231. One of them is wrong.
She picks the motorcycle and wins all three because it was $67.98.
Ding!
Okay.
Ding!
Okay. Andre wins a diamond necklace and plays check game for a 2024 Blue Steel Dodge Hornet GT SUV with 2-liter engine, 9-speed automatic transmission, all-wheel drive, GT Blackhawk package, compact spare tire, etc. It's blank check. He has to set the prize between $45,000 and $50,000. He writes the check at $23,721.
What kind of car does he think he's playing for?
It ain't that much. I said, by the way, I said $7,500.
I said
$5,000. And $75,000 would have been right because the price was $37,515, $61,236. He gone. So, right. Amanda, who wins a Pilates reformer place, times his money for $200,000 and wins nothing. Because she didn't get it. It was tomatoes, Goya tomato sauce, Powerade Coupe, 28-ounce Powerade, Philadelphia 15th cream cheese, Tide stain removers, and a 2-count of Maxi Energizer batteries. And that's what killed her, because she never moved it from the top, and it should have been in the middle. Tomatoes and the sports drink were in the left, cream cheese and batteries were on the right, and the wipes were on the middle, and on the wipes were on the right.
All right, so, but Amanda does go to the showcase. Meanwhile, Jason picks up Royce and Rocket luggage, packing cubes, and accessories, and gets a chance to go anywhere they want with a Buick and Vista Avenir in the money game.
CUV, pretty much.
Yeah, last pick is 95, and he wins a $31,595 car and a little bit of gas money. Next week.
Right. Ivy, who wins a beautiful espresso machine worth $36.68 and playing side by side for Samsung appliances, including microwave, electric range, dishwasher, French door fridge from Flessers, and an LG ThinQ washer gadget driver. Is it $56.83 or $83.56 and side by side?
I'm going to go with $83.56 on that.
So does she. She wins.
And now, again, remember this name. Christopher Fleming. He wins a game table worth $1,500. Now he gets to play for a bonus game. He gets to play bonus game for, and you know the rules of bonus game. It's like you need to control all four windows, but if you can only control one window, you need to control the one that has the bonus. And the bonus is a 2025 Chevy Corvette Z06.
2LC convertible with 640 horsepower engine, 8-speed automatic transmission, battery protection package, pretty much all that worth, Gordon. Listen to this. $133,775. Okay? But get this. He sweeps all four bonus windows and wins the Corvette. And if he's in California, he gets to keep it. If not, his bank account just jumped about $130,000. And Christopher also goes to the showcase.
Alright, first showcase is a golden ticket around the world with a trip to a week in Panama City, then a 9-day tour of Ireland, then a 6 nights in Thailand. Top winner Christopher passes it to Amanda, bids $33,500. Christopher gets things to do with your piggy bank. You can stuff it with $5,000, you can put it in a bedroom, or you can put it anywhere you want in a Mercedes-Benz GLA 250.
Not
with one supercar, he's going for another one. No, he bids $52,000. Let's start with Amanda here. Actual price is $40,731. She's off by $72,31. Not bad. Very good. Christopher's Showcase. Remember, he bid $52,000. Christopher's Showcase is $54,883. He wins! With a total, with a difference of $2,883, giving him a total for the night of $190,387. Again, if he lives in California, he gets two major cars and a hell of a tax bill. If not,
about 175 in cash, thereabouts, close to it?
More or less, yes.
Wow. Either way, Christopher is an early runner for the Game Show Player of the Year right now.
Right now, yes.
Okay, and to end...
It's very early, but that is a very impressive haul.
Yeah, it is. And by the way, you have to check this out on Paramount+. Plus. The Corvette was beautiful, and it was not just a regular Corvette. This is the Z6, which is the mid-range... but there's even a better Corvette, but we'll talk about that another time. We've got two reviews to talk about. The first one is the return of the Joe Schmo Show. Chico, take it.
Okay, so this show was actually filmed 2 years ago, or 2.5 years ago, I should say, April 2022, and it is a revisit of the Spike hit show of the same name with Kat Deely as your host, and everybody thinks they are playing a game called the Goat USA. They learn they're in a room that has a challenge and a ticking clock. They have to work together to figure out what that challenge is, like an escape room.
The irony of the situation is that between when it was taped 2.5 years ago and now, there was a real show that came out called The Goat.
Yep, that is the irony. There was also a little show called Jury Duty on Prime Video that came out.
Yes.
But if you know the Joe Schmo Show, you know the Joe Schmo secret. The only thing real about this reality competition is a guy by the name of Ben, an electrician from Baltimore. And everything that happens in this show is set up to see how he would take it.
And here's the problem with this, okay? This has been done...
Well, but before we get... Actually, you know what? We'll do this in reverse. You're right. Let's start with the bad first.
Okay, here's the problem with this. This show was done so much better, as you talked about, Jury Duty. Jury Duty was funny. Was hilarious. And it really did some, you know, this just feels tired and dated and not very good, at least to me.
Well, it has a lofty reputation to uphold with the first three seasons. Actually, just the first two. We don't talk about season three. But It's one of those things where it's like, okay, how do you do something that has already been done before and better? And one of the people on the show puts it rather succinctly. It's so janky, the clocks aren't working, and the rules make no sense. Couldn't have said it better myself.
Yeah, and we're not on Whose Line Is It Anyway, escape room where the points make no sense to begin with. Here's, you know, I'll say the good and then I'll say the bad. The good, and there actually is some good here, believe it or not, is the premise is always a fun premise, which is how long does it take the person to figure out okay, this is not real. I'm in something that's not real. The problem, and the premise is not bad. The host isn't terrible. But the problem is this, and Jay absolutely nailed it. You've got to take it higher, and this can't feel like, well, we're doing this just in case there's a strike. Oh, wait, there is. And as Jay said, it's got to be better, and it doesn't feel like it. I like the fact that you have an escape room motif in terms of this. If they do it that way, it could be fun. But where do you go from here in the first episode? How do you escalate the stakes? I am not the biggest fan of this unless there's some sort of practical joke payout. It doesn't feel like it. And as Chico and Jay both said, the magic of Joe Schmo at the beginning, it doesn't feel it, at least here, not exactly at this point. I'm going to go to the T bar on this one. I'll give it a T. Your T bar.
Okay.
I'm going to just give it a C. Okay, it's not the worst show in the world, but the thing is that I'm not a fan of abusive game shows, if you understand what I mean, or abusive.
I do.
Yeah.
Okay, because if you're going to, you know, yes, let's abuse the contestant for Schadenfreude purposes and use him as the butt of the joke, not a fan. So C for me.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a C, too. And here's the thing. Part of the charm of watching this show is seeing how Ben reacts. But we also need to see how everybody reacts to Ben. Because Ben is not this sort of tabula rasa character. He is a human. He has thoughts. He has feelings. He has all of this stuff going for him. And eventually, if he is smarter than everybody lets on, he's going to figure this out. What happens then?
Exactly.
And part of this is also, and again, you got this on Joe Schmo. I'm not sure in the original, I'm not sure you're going to get it in this variation of it, which is how do we raise the stakes? What do we do here? Obviously, the escape room is a fun little setup on that. Is it a continuation? Do we do more of it? Where are we going from here? And what is the reward of doing it? And that's the other thing. In the original Joe Schmo had to be serious in terms of the sort of shows because they're elimination shows. Jury duty, okay, get it. Not really competitive in that sort of way, but okay, fine. This needs to go somewhere, and it needs to go somewhere quicker than where I think that it's going. Again, not bad. I want to see the execution.
Exactly.
So maybe.
Okay.
So it sort of, for me, it almost sort of feels like I need another two or three episodes to really vibe on this. So that's why I'm putting it a T. For me, it's more of an incomplete.
Okay. All right. But Gordon, to end our segment, this first segment, you have a review of something that you found on the internet called Beer and Chicken Money.
Yes. And this is something, it's in the New York area. It's something relatively new. It is very current eventish. Chico, start by your thoughts first. Then I'll go through the gameplay. And then for me, this is going to be one of the reasons why this right now for me is an early nomination for best new game show of the year.
Whoa. Okay.
So Beer and Chicken Money, from the looks of it, looks like a combination of Street Smarts, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader, and the $20 sack pyramid from, I don't know if it was Snoop Dogg's premiere album or Dr. Dre's
It was the Chronic. It was Dr. Dre's
Dr. Dre's The Chronic. Yeah.
And you can throw some Mythbusters in there too, by the way.
Yeah. So here's how, we have two players.
So here's how the game works. There is a toss-up question. Whoever gets the toss-up question correct has a chance to get a bottle of beer. It's not a real bottle of beer. It's a theoretical one, but basically it's getting points on the board. If you get it right, you get your fake bottle of beer, AKA a point. If you get it wrong, the person can steal it and then they get the beer. So yep. Basically the tossing question basically determines who gets a shot at the question first. So whereas the first question is a toss up, the secondary one is whoever gets the toss up question correct has the advantage by getting the question out of themselves first. But if they get it wrong, the other person can steal it and get the beer. You win the game if either A, you get all six bottles of beer, which is a six-pack, or B, whoever is leading by the time they run out of questions. There's a finite number of questions per game.
Okay.
If you win, you get to go for all the chicken. In order to win all the chicken, there is one question, multiple choice, three answers. You get it right, you win the chicken. You don't get it right, you don't win the chicken. And that's your game. If you win the game, you have the opportunity to come back if you want. Obviously, the way that they have six episodes right now. Sometimes they have returning contestants, sometimes they don't. It really depends on the clientele. This is fun. The game is fun. And not only that, but it's not just standard Jeopardy. There's a lot of urban current events. There's a lot of who is this person. There's a lot of things that you should probably really know about New York, pop culture of the area, and it's hysterical to see these people not get it right. And you're going, no, oh no, what you do. And for example, one of the questions is, finish the next line of this song, the roof, the roof, the roof is on fire. And obviously, for all three of us, this should be easy because we lived in that era.
We had
probably a little
water,
bit more
water,
because
water.
They had...
We're not saying the rest. Yes.
Yes. We don't need the water. Let the mother flyer burn. Burn, mother flyer. Burn.
I thought you were going to go Sabrina Carpenter on us for a second there.
I am not, but I love Espresso, by the way. It's a great song. Anyways. The good, and there is a lot of it. The host is fantastic. The questions are fun, a little bit silly. At the beginning, you probably need a QA person on the questions for the first couple of episodes, but it gets better as the series goes along. The production values are negative. Out of a scale of 1 to 10, they're -4.
We're talking like public access?
You were talking public access. You're sitting in someone's living room, and there's a TV with a chintzy questions and really weird graphics.
Okay. So
like
in other words,
Microsoft 8 level graphics?
I'm sorry?
Are we talking Microsoft Paint level graphics?
We're talking like PDF graphics. Someone who had maybe version 1 of Adobe Photoshop skills.
Wow, okay.
Wow.
So this is the $20 stack pyramid, but you know what? If it has this that sort of vibe to it, okay, and Chico, if you listen to the sketch, and by the way, don't let the kiddies listen to that sketch, even though it's 30 years later. Almost 40 now, almost. I can get behind that. I can get behind it. You know what I mean?
Jay, you knowing you yourself, knowing Brooklyn the way that I know that you know Brooklyn, I believe there's 5 or 6 episodes. Watch them all. You will be a believer like I am.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. And I will. And I will take the time to do that. I will give it an eye for incomplete. But Chico has...
This is the perfect mix of trivia, R&B, and subversive history. Subversion on this. This is an easy A from me. It is something completely and utterly different. Go out there, check it out, look it up on YouTube. You will not regret it. This is fantastic.
Yeah, I'm giving it an A as well. I took one look at this and I asked Gordon, what the hell did I just watch? And then I watched some more. I was like, oh, that's what the hell I just watched. Okay, I get it now. It's a show that lays bare absolutely zero pretense and makes zero apologies. And you want to talk about no NFG television? This is NFG television.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
It is definitely not safe for work. However, and a big however, it does the job. This is a fantastic, from a trivia standpoint, the questions, again, once you get past the first two episodes of, no, this is actually wrong, some of these, it's okay. Once you get to some of the better episodes, the newer ones, you're going to sit there like, damn, this is fun. And again, this is a trivia show, and this is a trivia show about things that you should be knowing. And it's one of the things that I personally, from a personal level, it's like, Yeah. You should be knowing this more than you should be knowing the name of Kanye West's kids. I cannot recommend this to Jay enough.
I will take the time. I promise. I will take the time. But we don't have
a lot of audition. You're going to go audition as a contestant because they are looking for contestants.
I might. But put it to you this way. Hopefully, I mean, it's for pride, right? There's no legit prizes, correct? I'm just asking.
You can win chicken. You can win a 6-piece of chicken. And then you eat it on the show.
And then remember.
And then if you win the bonus and you get chicken, you eat it.
And then you get to drink beer with it.
All right. Well, no, you don't get to drink beer. It's pretty great, but you do get a beverage of your choice as long as it's not alcoholic. The chicken is real,
the soda is real, and this break is real, because we've got toilet to deal with and more brain vision stuff, so Chico, quickly.
Yes, all the news you didn't even know you need to know is on the other side of this break with Gordon Pepper and Jason Block. I'm Chico, Alexander 6th with 501, your home, where we love to interrupt. You give us 22 minutes.
And we'll give you 22 different flavors that you can put on the chicken if you win the game.
Honey barbecue, teriyaki, spicy chipotle, mango ranch. Habanero, Carolina Reaper,
scorpion,
ranch,
ghost pepper.
Yeah, ghost pepper, all that good stuff.
Spicy chili.
Yeah, but lots of flavors, not enough time. Yeah, let's go. Break time. We'll see ya. We'll be right back.
It's not just a donation.
It's a warm blanket.
It's a bottle of clean water.
It's a roof and a bed.
It's knowing someone cares.
It's feeling safe.
You said today that's better than yesterday.
Every dollar you can spare helps so much more than you can imagine. Donate now to help people affected by the 2025 California wildfires. Your support is urgently needed.
Okay, Gordon, quickly, break one to you in 3, 2, 1.
WLTI has been brought to you by Bet on Your Puppy Monkey Baby. That's right, the Super Bowl's coming. We've had betting on puppies and betting on monkeys and betting on babies, but not at the same time. It's the ultimate triumvirate. Bet on Your Puppy Monkey Baby. Coming to Mountain Dew's tours near you.
Puppy Monkey Baby.
Hosted by Chico.
Monkey baby.
That's right.
But that's not the cue. Gordon, this is.
Roll that beautiful brain footage.
From the four corners of the globe to your frontal lobe, this is WLTI Brain Vision News with Chico Alexander, Gordon Pepper, and the award-winning Brain Vision News team.
Thank you very much, Doug Morris. As always, you can follow Doug Morris on all social media, Doug Morris Games, or Rock 104 Rock Tracks, and Tracks Productions. And you can listen to Doug Morris every Sunday after as he hosts his Rock Tracks with Doug Morris from high atop his palatial estate in the Pine Belt on Rock 104. That's WXRR Hattiesburg, 104.5 on your FM dial and all over the known
multiverse.
On Rock104FM.com, the Odyssey app, and the Rock 104 app. All right.
Time for some magic.
It's business. It's business time.
I know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say it's time for business. It's business time.
It's business.
This particular decision was this Harry Potter cast a spell on Food Network. They are bringing back Wizards of Baking Tournament of Champions.
It's two different shows, Wizard of Baking and Tournament of Champions.
Ah, okay, but even so...
Did you imagine?
I know, but even so, smart move on both parts. Tournament of Champions is always good with Guy Fieri. And Wizards of Baking, really, they really took the Harry Potter franchise and used it correctly, which was really
good. One of my favorite... Yeah, absolutely. It was one of my favorite new shows of 2024. So I'm really glad they brought it back. And Tournament of Champions is always fantastic. So yes and yes. Yay, give me more.
Well, I'll give you a date book. On Friday, as we record this, the season finale of LOL Last One Laughing Poland premieres on Prime. Penn & Teller Fool Us is the season premiere on CW. Monday is the season premiere of Chico's favorite show, The Bachelor.
Not to mention, Jeopardy! Tournament of Champions begins.
Correct. And on Wednesday, before I even add the Challenge All-Stars, it is your final quarterfinal matches on Pop Culture Jeopardy. But let's talk about that after. We all know that we are degenerate gamblers of one point or another. But let's talk about one of the apps, because BetMGM is teaming up with our good friends at Fremantle. Why and how?
They have procured the IP rights to Family Feud and The Price is Right for its iGaming platform, which is an online casino platform, which is legal in 7 states, Connecticut, Delaware, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, West Virginia, and Gordon's home state of New Jersey. That may increase as roughly 10 states will consider legislation. But Price is Right and Family Feud will have themed games in the iGaming platform, according to BetMGM, a statement. During select weeks throughout the upcoming seasons, BetMGM will be featured as a sponsor with exclusive, never-before-seen partnership integrations for Family Feud and The Price is Right. Throughout 2025, BetMGM and Fremantle will reveal additional details on these planned partnership activations. So do not be surprised if you see Steve Harvey and Drew Carey hawk BetMGM on their platforms.
And also maybe, trips to MGM resorts, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Which, by the way, is a very smart move. This
incredibly smart. Yay, corporate synergy.
Yes, yep. Corporate synergy. This, not so much.
Welcome to Dumb Decisions.
That's dumb.
You're so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
Are you smarter than Zachary Ty Bryan?
Again?
Indeed. He was popped again for domestic violence, you see. He was arrested on January 1st, according to my source at FoxNews.com. An unidentified woman during a domestic dispute accused him of choking her and punching her in the face multiple times. A third party called 911, and Brian had attacked and tried to kill the woman. There was bruising and swelling on the right side of the woman's face, but she wasn't identified. But according to the report, she stated she lived with the actor and shared children with him. Oh, boy, not good. That's just, you don't hit girls, you don't hit women, you don't hit anybody. Not good.
No.
And which, in this case, might lead to this sort of haterade.
Haterade!
Chico, I need zombies.
Will you accept this brain?
Yeah, exactly. Well, there are two divorces in Hollywood. According to TMZ, the Price is Right announcer and Week of Flinks host, George Gray, is divorcing his wife of 5 years. However, they may work it out because they're going through couples counseling and have 6 months to rescind the divorce, and I hope they do. I really do. I'm not a fan of love ending by any stretch. What's the second one, Chico?
Next one involves Love is Blind couple Ashley Adianizer and Tyler Francis. They've announced that they are ending their marriage after a year and getting a divorce. They got married during season 7. That is the last season of Love is Blind. Speaking of which, season 8 will drop on Valentine's Day, of all days. So, yeah, they had a rocky road on the show. They met in the pods. They agreed to get married. Tyler was a sperm donor, has 3 children, and he, quote-unquote, lied about his children. They went at it in the reunion. It was this whole thing. Yeah, now it's it.
Well, let me throw in one more piece of haterade. And this has got a political bent to it, but it's not really political. Because it's game show based.
That is correct. That is correct. You're right.
Now, obviously, we have both Democrats and Republicans working on the show, Hi Jake, at the exact same time. So we try to keep something, if it's a political slant, we try to A, do equal time, or B, have something that's not really political. So in this case, when Donald Trump becomes the president, he fires a lot of people. You're fired. One of the people that he fired, well, he's a game show guy, Jay.
That would be Jose Andres of World Central Kitchen. He was part of all the DEI stuff that Trump did on the first day because he was part of some initiatives that were considered to be left of center, you know, like cooking for certain causes that would be not happy to the right, etc. But you know what, though? I give Jose Andres a lot of credit because World Central Kitchen has been featured on shows like Top Chef and other. If you remember correctly, during the pandemic season, World Central Kitchen was involved. I believe that was correct, yes? I think so.
Yes. Yes, sir.
So, yes, but we need to go. Where are we sending Zachary and all the divorcees and all that good stuff? Where are we going, Chico?
Japan.
Okay.
Full items coming out of Japan. The first one is a new show called Offline Love that will drop on Netflix on February 18th, which will feature 10 Japanese citizens dropped off in the city of Nice, France, as they look for love without the use of a smart device.
I like this concept. I do.
I mean, they're actually going to have to communicate with each other.
I know. Yes. It's crazy.
It will never work. No one will find love.
Oh.
No, but seriously, I like this concept. Next one.
Next one is TV Asahi is teaming up with Smart Dog Media, that's the Craig Pleistis outlet, to create and produce Song versus Dance. There is a concept of an idea here, but the new show will have performers competing in a head-to-head battle in a video game-inspired format, leaving only one winner and answering the question, which is better, song or dance? Producers are hoping it will be an international variety hit as it goes to MIP London in February.
And by the way, Smart Dog Media, for those who don't know, I'm just looking at there, produced a little show called The Masked Singer.
Yeah, some sort of niche show. I'm not sure if anybody's ever heard of it.
I don't think anybody's heard of it. It's not like media pros like to go on the show and, you know, media pro it up for the cameras.
No, of course not.
No, of course not.
I got pros. I got pros in different area codes. Area codes. Pros.
And this week's Media Pro Report, we have the season 19 lineup for Taskmaster, which is Fatiha El Ghori, a British stand-up comedian. Matthew Baton, writer and one of the creators of Ghosts. Rosie Ramsey, a podcaster. Stevie Martin, a comedian and podcaster. And Jason Matsoukas, an American comedian known for his roles in Big Mouth, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and The Good Place. So yeah, a ghost, three podcasters, and an American walk into the caravan.
And one of them says, "You don't like it? Boomy."
A ghost, yeah.
Okay. Taylor Tomlinson welcomes everybody back to taping after midnight by saying that she had a go bag full of Pop-Tarts and condoms. As we all do.
As you speak for yourself.
Ryan.
God.
Ryan Seacrest takes his first wild fall as host of Wheel of Fortune.
Which was pretty funny, by the way. That was great. And he took it beautifully. It was great.
He literally took it in stride. Dara Ennis addresses taping the shapes after his father's death. Sarah Haynes thinks her dad's hot. Tyra Banks loses her home to the wildfires.
John Cena debuts a new show called What Drives Us on Roku Channel. Talks with Jelly Roll, Logan Paul, The Miz, and another celebrity who I forget. But talks about cars and their passions, which I think is kind of cool.
Colin Jost didn't make his NBC premiere on Saturday Night Live. He was on a College Week episode of The Weakest Link. Noel Fielding plans a return to the Great British Baking Show. John Bishop has been tapped to host the pilot of Wisdom of the Crowd. You know him best from Doctor Who.
Who?
Who?
Who? And we said goodbye to Bob Uecker last week.
Yes, we did.
But none of them are your pro of the week. And for the second week in a row, we're giving it to Carrie Underwood. Because what turned from a large outdoor sort of cavalcade of politics, power, and money has turned into a small, cozy get-together in the Capitol Rotunda. She had a list of demands to play the inauguration, and apparently,
got none of them.
and allegedly had a micro hissy fit when she performed.
No, I don't think. No, I watched it. She did not have a hissy fit. It was called technical issues, Gordon.
She had that too.
We all know that, but we need to move on.
Yeah. Those
are your pros.
And that is Brave Mission. Jason, if you would, please.
Shutting down, getting the toilet. It's already on the truck.
It's on the truck. We're rolling it in here for more pressure flush. We've got some coming attractions that we are ready to introduce to the sewers. Coming up next right here on WLTI 6. We'll be right back. WLTI is presented by Love is Bland. What happened?
Go ahead. I love it.
We've taken 12 of the most uninteresting people and put them in pods in hopes that some of them will find a lasting love match. But what happens when they have absolutely nothing to talk about? It gets awkward really quickly. And then the show begins. That is Love is Bland, some douche chat on the internet posts.
By the way, I will just say one thing. I thought you were going in a totally different direction. I will tell you off air. But we really need to go quickly to push or flush. Five things. Push, pastry, jiggle, a piggle, jiggle, and flush. Three flushes in the clock. First one. January 17th, LOL Poland Season 3. Again, Peggle.
Peggle.
Yeah, if you saw the last episode that we did, it's not awful, it's not great, it's just there. Piggle.
I'm still waiting, still waiting for the American version.
Next one, that we talked about this, the Joe Schmo Show, again, in the middle, Piggle.
Piggle.
Yep, make it a trio. Again, for me, incomplete, I want more.
Okay.
I just need more.
Next.
Better.
Penn and Teller Fool Us, Season 11. I love this show. It's so fun. Push.
Big push from me. I love seeing the magic, and I love seeing it debunked.
Well, not just that, but it's the way that they do it. It's all about, in this one, why they're one of the best magicians in the world. It's how they do it, and it's the execution. Absolute major push for me.
Okay. Next, Bachelor, Season 29. Again, what? I think this is long in the tooth. Again, I'm not going to flush this. But again, they're trying new things, and I just don't think it's sticking. Peggle.
What?
There's a reason why it's been on for 29 years. As much as I want to flush it, people watch this. It's not for us, but it's their Piggle.
All right, next. We got it. Next one. The Challenge All-Stars, Season 5 on MTV and Paramount Plus. Again, I've grown from this show, but I understand it. I understand its appeal. Push.
It's a push for me, too. This is actually a graduation of sorts. It used to be a Paramount Plus exclusive. Now it's on the Big Boy Network.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to push it, but I understand the appeal it's all right. And it's sort of like what happens on The Amazing Race or Survivor if the same people play every single season. Piggle.
Okay, that's fair.
Okay, next one is the football on HGTV.
I'm not in the target audience, but I can see where it will fit with the target audience, so I'm going to give it a pastry.
Say a little bit about what this is about, please, for all those that don't know.
Okay.
It's basically a flip-off between competing exes.
Yes, Tarek and Heather Ray El Moussa compete against Christina Hatt. It's a two-on-one flipping showdown. Okay.
They will buy, renovate, and flip house for the biggest financial gain.
Yeah, your mileage is going to vary on this one. And it does nothing for me. Piggle.
I'm going to jiggle this. I don't like this because it says the team comes out on top and the first vacation paid for by the loser. No, this is ultimate drama that doesn't need to be there. Jiggle.
And it screams, we're going to do this for the entertainment of the masses, and this may not actually be a reality competition show.
I see what you did there.
You do.
Uh-huh.
Next
up.
The Voice, Season 27. Again, I don't know how this... Again, this is all about the coaches, not about the talent. Piggle.
Piggle, I'm ready for the... I'm ready to feel the wow again, guys. I've been ready to feel the wow again for a while.
It is what it is. Your mileage is going to vary. We've gone past the era of this is how you can make it in Hollywood. And if you think that this is how you can make it in Hollywood, you're delusional at this point. So, Piggle. It's good for what it is, but it would have been much better for what it was.
Now, this one is interesting to me. This is Celebrity Bear Hunt, hosted by Bear Grylls.
In Hollywood, in her U.S. debut.
Right. This is sort of a combination of I'm a Celebrity, Get Out of Here, and what was that, the show with John Cena? Manhunt. Yeah. They're trying to be... 12 celebrities are coming to become prey as they're hunted down by gorillas. This could be either really good or really bad. I'm going to pastry this because I'm interested. I'm really interested.
Remember, this is the same network that brought Run for the Money back to the U.S. So It's going to be a pastry for me. I mean, it's going to be a morbid watch, but it's going to be a watch nonetheless.
I'm intrigued on this. If they execute this correctly, this could be fun, guilty pleasure. If they execute this incorrectly, it's going to be, why are we watching this? I'm going to agree with both of you. Pastry. I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued enough to actually care about watching it. Pastry.
Okay. The big Super Bowl spot, The Floor, Season 3. This is a little show that could, and you know what? It got better in Season 2. I think it's going to get better in Season 3. And no, I'm not voting Push because we like the people who work there. It's a damn good show, Push.
I agree, Push.
I don't, but it is, I'll agree with you too. It's definitely gotten a lot better in Season 2 than Season 1. I expect Season 3 to be better than Season 2 on that. I still think there's different changes in that gameplay that need to happen, but there are worse things that are out there. And it's again, the people that are on the show, I believe, are a true factor on, yeah, they're our friends, but they're a true factor on why Season 2 is that much better than Season 1. Pastry, I want to see it.
Okay.
All right.
Next up.
Yep. The Extracted. So you have two sets of contestants. One, who are trying to survive in the jungle, and two, contestants who are relatives of the contestants who are trying to determine the contestants' fate. This reminds me of The Wall, and I didn't like The Wall. Pagel.
It reminds me of Set for Life, and I didn't like Set for Life. Pagel.
I like The Wall. We all know what my thoughts are for Set for Life. And again, I'll go, I understand the premise of it. The execution is what's going to make this good or cringy. I think it's going to be cringy. Jiggle.
Okay. Next one. The Masked Seeing Singer, Season 13. Wow. Again, I understand the appeal. But again, it's still a one note for me, and the one note has gotten tired. I'm just wondering what celebrities they're going to get, or what C-list or D-list celebrities they're going to get. Hagel.
I'm still waiting for the Ryan Reynolds singer to pop up and just surprise everybody. Pastry.
You know, for me, this show has actually grown on me throughout the years. I've gotten out of flushing it on principle. Sort of thing, even though I went there with Rudy Giuliani showing up as a piece of cake. I may go back there if I see that sort of shenanigans, but they execute it well. It's getting better. Yeah, it's one note, but they actually do a decent job getting the note correctly. I'm going to pastry, but I will turn on this in a hurry if they don't keep giving us the caliber of contestants and they go, what the heck is this route?
Gotcha. And finally, Next Level Chef Season 4. I didn't expect this show to succeed, but again, it's part of the Gordon Ramsay. It's Gordon Ramsay's world. We just live in it. Pastry.
It's Gordon Ramsay's world. We're just eating dinner in it. Push.
It's Gordon Ramsay's world, but I like MasterChef a lot better than I like the other two properties. Pickle.
That's fair. That's totally fair.
Next week, we kill the toilet!
Ah, for springtime. Okay, but quickly, we have a speed round coming right after this. We'll be right back.
WLTI is brought to you by Deal or No Deal Islands in the Stream. That's right, Kenny Rogers is the banker, Dolly Parton is the model, because why the hell not? It's country. It's a little bit of country, it's a little bit of rock and roll, and it's a whole lot of plateaus, if you know what I mean. That is Deal or No Deal Island in the Streets.
That is what we are.
And we rely on each other.
And you know what I also rely on, and it's a speed round, and we'll start it now. RuPaul's Drag Race. Joella was in the bottom two. Does she survive another week?
I don't think she's going to survive another week. I really
you
don't.
You don't?
I don't.
What?
I don't think she's going to survive another day.
We'll see.
Okay.
Just another day with... No, she's she's on an ego trip. The only way that she survives is if the producers think that she is so for the show that she winds up being safe. I mean, the next time she's on the bottom will be the last time she's on the bottom.
Okay. So, Celebrity Jeopardy next week, we have Phoebe Robinson, Brian Jordan Alvarez, and Roy Wood Jr. Who you got?
I got Roy Wood Jr. But that's
any of them from Duke? Any of them from Duke?
No.
Then I don't care. I mean, I care. But I don't have a rooting interest. I root for all of them. I love everybody.
Yes, okay. What else we got?
A Deal or No Deal Island. Who is next to see the baker?
It ain't gonna be Rob Mariano, that's for sure.
Well, Rob Mariano hosts the after show, so of course he won't make it.
I mean, it won't be Dr. Will, excuse me, pardon me.
It won't be Dr. Will, it won't be Parvati, if you ask me. They're pretty big threats.
But I think it'll be a civilian.
Yeah, I also think it's gonna be a civilian. But don't be surprised if somebody manages to outgame them, just saying. Do we have any mail? That would be a no. So if you want to send us some, our address is WLTI@GameShowNewsNet.com. Follow us on all social media at GameShowNewsNet. I am at Dino R. Alexander.
I am at Beat the Block, the number 2.
And I am GSNN Haterade.
And of course, the network is at 5&1net. That is 5, the number 5, ANDONENET. We talk about everything that we do network wide. For example, Jay, you and I were talking about the upcoming championship weekend in the NFL on the BS Big Show. It will be either the Commanders or the Eagles versus either the Bills or the Chiefs. It is going to be.
It is going to be one for the ages, but like I said, I really think the Commanders have a shot. I really do.
Yeah.
I really do.
You think Jane Daniels is the sexy pick and the Eagles are a bunch of frauds?
I just think they're overrated. I think that if the Commanders can stop Saquon Barkley and that they play a perfect game, the Eagles will not win, but we'll see what happens.
I'm gonna use I quote from one of my favorite movies. We all have our illusions. Far be it me to take away yours. This is the absolute slam dunk. There is no way the Eagles lose. They brought in Saquon Barkley for a game like this. And again, they now have something to play for. Yeah, they lost to Washington, but they had nothing to play for. Washington's getting eviscerated.
Okay.
And of course, it's Taylor's world. We just live in it. But you know, we'll see. We're gonna recap the championship games and preview the Super Bowl next week.
Yes.
Gordon, what's happening in the UBA?
One of the big crown jewels of the UBA, Unholy Alliance, is in less than 2 weeks. Week and a half.
There you go.
Awesome.
At ubatoday.info for all your underground bowling station needs. Oh, of course, I have to promote the NAWC as we are heading towards the Royal Rumble a week from this coming Saturday. And, boy, and with the TNA Alliance, who knows who will join the Royal Rumble, both the men and the women, and boy, they are loaded both ways, and it's going to be so much fun. And we're also going to preview the Saturday night's main event show after review the Saturday night's main event show as well. This coming
week. Nice. Over on It Was a Thing, we have two shows with the commonality. The first show is Bridget Loves Bernie, a And the second is Chicken Soup. Both of them feature, at their heart, interfaith couples. One is a little bit before its time, and the other one has Jackie Mason. And that proves to be a problem in and of itself. We'll figure out how and why over at itwasathingontv.com. Okay.
So, Chico, what's happening next week as we head to the end of the first month of 2025 already?
Yeah, we're ending the preliminaries on Pop Culture Jeopardy. We are reviewing a new show on HGTV. We've got Drag Race, Deal or No Deal Island, Four Price is Right, and, of course, We Kill the Toilet. All of that is coming up next week right here on The World's Strongest. For Gordon Pepper and Jason Block, my name is Chico Alexander. Our time is up. We thank you for yours. Game over. And spread the love.
Good night.